You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at Chicago Football. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. We've got everybody in studio this week. We'll start with ChicagoFootball.com fantasy writer JC Talon. JC, how you doing?
Doing well.
And we've got Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Not joining us via Skype. He is actually sitting to my left. This is incredible. Arthur, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Just invading all your guys' space. Hopefully I'll be a welcome change here for the next half hour or so.
All right. Let's get right to it with some news and notes. We all saw the Pittsburgh-Oakland shootout, which had plenty of fantasy goodness in it. But Ben Roethlisberger is going to miss a few weeks with a foot injury. Landry Jones worth a stash in this Pittsburgh offense, Arthur?
I think so, just because it is the Pittsburgh offense. You know, you're likely, if you're in decent shape, you're not really hoping to rely on Landry Jones. But we'll see what he can do with a week of preparation. He has so far been much better off the bench, which is pretty odd. He's only had one chance to prepare for a start. Didn't go well with three turnovers. But when you're talking about that type of a supporting cast, his fantasy value gets an immediate major boost.
JC, Antonio Brown coming off, I believe, 284 receiving yards, and somehow no touchdowns with that.
Yeah.
Do you like him a lot with Landry?
So Landry Jones has one start this year, and Brown caught six balls for 124 yards in that start. So yeah, I think he'll do fine. They're playing the Browns' 29th-ranked defense at home. He should be okay.
Stat I saw, Martavis Bryant has caught all three of Landry Jones's touchdown passes. So I'm on Martavis with Landry this week. I kind of like him. We'll move on to some running backs. Deion Lewis is going to be out for the season in New England. We know Bill Belichick can do some things with running backs sometimes, but Arthur, this feels like it's LeGarrette Blount show the rest of the way.
You know, I half agree. Certainly, when it's a run-heavy, you know, game plan, it's going to be LeGarrette Blount's show. But I don't think he's suddenly going to become an adequate receiver at this point. Certainly, James White and Brandon Bolden are the two guys that fit that role a little bit better. And I think we do need to remind ourselves that no one knew who Deion Lewis was 10 weeks ago. So this could be the latest instance of Bill Belichick creating something out of thin air. I think James White, a former fourth-round pick, the Wisconsin kid, is actually the more intriguing of these two options.
So you like White better than Bolden at this point?
I do, only because he has that, you know, the draft status. I know it's taken a little bit of a time, but the 1 week that Deion Lewis was inactive, it was White who had, I believe, 40-something snaps and looked like he could hold up in that role. So we'll see what happens.
JC, are you racing out to pick up White?
Well, personally, look, if they're available, White or Bolden, you might as well take a shot. I personally think it's going to be a week-to-week thing. White is more like Deion Lewis, but I do think Deion Lewis is a little bit different than some of these New England backs. I think he really was good, and I think Belichick recognized that, and I wouldn't be surprised if 1 week Bolden plays a little bigger role. He's a little bigger back, a little more traditional. White's shiftier, and next week White plays a little bit more. I do think Blount now becomes more valuable, but, you know, if personally I'm in larger leagues, there's not a lot of roster space. I'm not wasting a roster spot in those guys. But if you got the room and they're available, it's worth a flyer.
One more injury to talk about. LeSean McCoy, JC's boy to start the season, has a shoulder injury. JC, are you back on Carlos Williams?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that, LeSean McCoy. Carlos Williams, 5 TDs to McCoy's 2. On fewer carries, he also averages 6.6 yards a carry to McCoy's 4.4. Now he's McCoy's banged up yet again. Williams' injury was a concussion. Let's hope that doesn't repeat. A lot of times it doesn't. I would be all over Williams. I think he'd be a great play.
Arthur, what are your thoughts on Williams? Buffalo seems to really like him.
Yeah, I might not be the guy to ask, only because I'm sitting here kicking myself for dropping Carlos Williams. Much like earlier in the season, I had D'Angelo Williams to begin the season and, of course, dropped him. So let this be a lesson in holding on to handcuffs, especially in those run-first offenses. I didn't do so, but, yeah, I mean, what's not like to like about Carlos Williams? He pairs that size with the big playability, and as JC alluded to, he's finding the end zone at a pretty impressive clip so far.
And when I'm looking at Buffalo, I'm looking at a guy that I think a lot of people dropped after he got hurt, but he's back and he looked really well. But Tyrod Taylor is probably available. I think last look is in about half of Yahoo leagues at this point. I think Tyrod Taylor is more than a stash. He was a top five fantasy quarterback when he was healthy to start the year.
No doubt. There's only so many guys that you can expect to get a little bit of added value with their legs. Of course, Tyrod can dial up the deep ball. You saw it with Watkins last week. Watkins is healthier. I think we're going to get to him here in a little bit in the show. But, yeah, Tyrod Taylor is playing well, hasn't shown any ill effects from that knee injury.
All right, a couple of waiver wire pickups for the week. I'm going to start with Tennessee wide receiver Doriel Green-Beckham out of Oklahoma, Mizzou, depending on however you want to look at it. He got 10 targets against the Saints, and new head coach Mike Mularkey basically said we got to get DGB more involved in the offense. I think he's an easy pickup this week if he's available. Arthur, JC, what do you think?
I think he's worth picking up. This week they have Carolina. I would caution you. Delanie Walker's the top target there. 8 different receivers caught passes for the Titans this week. And how many times is Mariota going to throw for 371 yards? But he's got a lot of upside. He's a big target, big play guy. Certainly, if you've got the room, he's worth a stash. I'm not sure I'd play him against Carolina, though.
I don't know if we're to the point of Josh Norman Island yet, but that's what would scare me a little bit about this weekend's matchup. Norman has been as good as any corner in football. We'll see who he draws Sunday. DGB, obviously, I know fairly well from the Mizzou days. I really love his ceiling, but his floor scares me. He had 10 targets, as you mentioned. I think he only parlayed them into 5 catches. Did have a couple late in crunch time, which is encouraging. But the Titans brass hasn't been shy about saying they have to scale back the game plan a little bit for DGB. I think he's going to be a little bit of a late bloomer. So, and of course, we haven't mentioned Kendall Wright. The opportunities for DGB are immediately, or I should say, they're absolutely connected to Kendall Wright and that knee injury. So definitely monitor that.
And any concern over, it seems like Antonio Andrews is getting plenty of buzz in the run game in Tennessee. Does that take away anything in your interest in DGB?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're going to, you know, hopefully they're going to strive for a balanced offense. In fact, I know under Mike Mularkey that's going to be the plan. He loves his play action. He loves the balance. So, you know, what could eventually, I can't talk here in studio, impact Antonio Andrews' value is if David Cobb can ever prove to be, in the proper condition to get going, the former fourth rounder who is now eligible to come off IR.
Yeah, man, we liked Cobb coming out of the preseason, but banged up. All right, guys, we are more than halfway through the fantasy regular season. If you're in contention for the playoffs, and congratulations if you are, and we hope that we've provided some advice to help you along the way. Let's find some guys who could peak late in the fantasy season into the fantasy playoffs. Maybe your trade deadline in your league hasn't passed. Maybe a guy you can target or a guy that's on your roster you think, maybe I should play him, maybe I shouldn't. We're going to take a look at the rest of the schedule the rest of the way and identify some guys who we think could really help you down the stretch. I want to start with Jonathan Stewart with Carolina. He gets 2 dates with the Falcons, who that's a team that really is in some trouble, I think, after a loss to the 49ers. Plus Tennessee, not a good run defense. Washington started out as a good run defense and has really plummeted. Plus the Saints and the Giants, they have given up buckets of points lately. What do you guys think of Jonathan Stewart as a playoff stretch guy the rest of the way?
If he stays intact, sure. I mean, this would be a deja vu. He brought a lot of people to fantasy hardware last year because of his late season surge. So the difference is that he has been the bell cow from the get-go this year, whereas last year, obviously, D'Angelo was still there. But just from a pure talent standpoint, Jonathan Stewart's one of the better backs in football. He's been doing it fairly consistently. And, yeah, with that closing slate, I would definitely be all in on J. Stu.
JC?
Yeah, I like him. I like him more than his actual value. I said last week I was thinking that Cam Newton is going to have to back off a little bit just going down the stretch, and you would think that would open up more opportunities for Stewart. So, yeah, if he can stay healthy, I think he would be if you could trade for him or if you've got him, I think that's a great finish for him.
All right, we'll move on to Doug Martin, a guy who really Arthur, I don't think you and I were on him at the start of the season. JC, I feel like you may have been on Doug Martin to start the season. Whichever one of you were right. I was definitely wrong. I was off of Doug Martin. Tampa gets the Bears in Week 16, which is the title game for most fantasy leagues, and a stretch of Colts, Falcons, Saints. That's a tasty 3 weeks for Doug Martin.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the muscle hamster, yeah, I actually, and don't ask me why, but I watched that game last week, and he fumbled, and so they took him out. And so Charles Sims was in for, I'm going to say, five consecutive series, and then he fumbled. And next thing you know, Martin's back in, and he winds up actually even on some of the third down offense he was in. And then he dropped a sure touchdown, and so now Sims comes back in. So that worries me a little bit that they're that quick with the trigger. But with that slate, he is a good runner. I think Tampa Bay's improving offensively. So, yeah, I think he'd be great for the stretch run.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's offense, Jameis has looked pretty mature over the past couple of weeks, and that's got to benefit Doug Martin a little bit, doesn't it, Arthur?
Gosh, if Mike Evans could hold on to the football, look out for this offense.
That's the ball.
Jameis Winston has been fantastic, and Marcus Mariota, while a little bit less consistent, has also been terrific. It's looking like the top of this draft in terms of quarterbacks are going to be a success. And, yeah, there's a lot of weapons there in Tampa. They just need to continue finding a way to mold them together.
All right, the last one on my list here. This is not for the faint of heart. Anybody want to hop on the Eddie Lacy death train? Packers get the Lions twice, the Bears once in the next 4 weeks, plus Oakland in week 15, which may be your fantasy semifinals. Anybody want to jump on that? Or is it James Starks?
Well, I was going to say right now, if you just based on what we've seen the last few weeks, Starks looks like the better play. I, you know, call me stubborn, but I kind of would lean toward Lacy myself. I keep thinking he's going to come back, but every week he doesn't. And Starks looks pretty good, and Starks very active in the passing game. So, I Lacy's a guy, if somebody in your league is willing to give him up for next to nothing, then I would definitely be all over that, because you never know. The upside there is pretty good. Something seems to be wrong, but maybe he'll bounce back.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as JC. If we had taped this 72 hours ago, I probably would have had a different answer. But to watch him come off the bye and then injure that groin is troubling, yeah. Obviously. I think he played 15, 20 snaps at the most Sunday, so that's problematic. And especially when you got James Starks kind of nipping at your heels right now. So you love the pedigree. You love certainly the offense. I wouldn't get too worried about the Packers' offense over the past couple weeks. They will rebound. But right now he's just not healthy, and it's hard to bet on those kind of guys.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to our Bears breakdown. We're going to break down the fantasy matchups for the Bears-Rams game this Sunday. Arthur, what are you looking at? Todd Gurley is a guy that we've been talking about forever. I saw a stat that really intrigued me, that the Bears have really only given up minimal yards and touchdowns to starting running backs this year. They've actually, Vic Fangio's defense has looked good against number one running backs.
It's pretty impressive what he's doing with the personnel, obviously, at his disposal. And I think the most impressive stat is the limiting of explosive gains. I think there's been two on the season of 20-plus yard gains by the Bears defense. To me, that screams, obviously better tackling in the back seven. But after watching or trying not to watch safety play in this town for so many years, and Chris Conte and whoever else, Major Wright, is just whiffing at space, Adrian Amos, he looks like a player. He comes downhill with urgency. And that's been pretty impressive. NHL role, I'm not as sold on. But, yeah, that to me is what's going to be the key statistic here, because Gurley is doing – he's making a lot of his money on those big explosive gains. So it's kind of going to be strength – I don't want to call the Bears run defense a strength, but in this particular – relative to this, it's kind of a strength versus strength situation.
That said, the Bears going into the Chargers game – I viewed this stat before the Monday night game. They were giving up 4.7 yards per carry – fourth worst in the league. I personally think Gurley is going to have a huge day.
Really? You think Gurley, it's all... It's
he's
much
my
all
number one back this week. Okay. I think he is going to tear them up. I think the Bears are going to have trouble moving the ball offensively, which is going to keep giving the Rams the ball back, and eventually he's going to break one, and I think he's going to wear them down. The Bears' defense is going to get tired. They're very thin. They're not very experienced. I think it's going to be a big day for Gurley.
And after I just kind of sang the praise of the Bears defense, I do agree with JC, and I'll go back to 2 weeks ago. Adrian Peterson didn't break off any 20-plus yard runs, but did you see him get to the second level untouched? That's a, you know, that's a sign of a Bears defensive line that is undermanned right now, and I expect them to have similar issues with that St. Louis stretch scheme, and Gurley should still be very productive, I believe.
It all really comes down to Shay McClellan. If he's back, there's no way the Rams are getting any – I'm just joking.
This is what it's come to.
Yeah. Well, guys, I guess I'm a little curious with it because it's not like Nick Foles is beating anybody. So is this a case where Fangio can almost stack the box against Gurley and dare Nick Foles, who hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards, I think, in I don't know, his life, at least in a while. Yeah, I mean, isn't that a conceivable game script, Arthur?
Yeah, it is for sure, although I don't think Fangio, when you watch kind of his, whether it's his goal line defense deployment and kind of odd situations, you know, the picket fence at the goal line on second, third down, whatever it is, to concede a field goal, to me that speaks to the trust he has in his secondary. So we could all, you know, of course he's going to load the box to stop Gurley because he's their best weapon. But you can't sleep on Tavon Austin, who has finally arrived in his third season. And Kenny Britt, believe it or not, is making some productive plays downfield for them when Foles is willing to push the ball downfield. So you got to be careful, but certainly that will be the first strategy, is kind of stopping Gurley at all costs and seeing if those guys can beat you.
If Tavon Austin is in the slot, he could potentially have a huge day against that Bears defense, can't he?
Yeah, and he spends a lot of time, no question. He also spends a lot of time in the backfield. He's very much a gadget player and almost in a Randall Cobb type of mold. You can't really play man-to-man coverage on him because they're hiding him. And he's come along. You know, I still am not sure he's worth what they gave up to go up and get him in the first round. But credit him. I think he's got 7 touchdowns or something crazy like that.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Bears offense. I know we were all creating Jeremy Langford's Hall of Fame bust after his performance and kicking Matt Forte out of town. Let's assume that Forte is out for the purpose of this discussion. Can Langford have similar success against that Rams defense and continue to provide some fantasy goodness for people who picked him up?
JC. Well, that's a two-part question. The first part, the answer is no. He's not going to produce at the same level he produced against San Diego. The Rams have the number 5 overall defense. Now, they are number 13 against the run, so that's where the Bears could have some success. I do think he is probably a good RB2. Maybe overall, I'd rank him somewhere between 15 and 20. And I think he'll have a decent day, but he's not going to look like he did against San Diego just because of the difference in the defenses.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with JC. I don't think you should expect the RB1 production we saw Monday night, but certainly with his receiving skills, that was a pretty nifty diving catch he bailed out Cutler on. He really can do it all. That's what was impressive as anything, was kind of the total package from Langford. So I still think if you were lucky enough to grab him off waivers and you have a need at running back, you can plug him in either RB2 and flex and feel pretty good about that. We do know, obviously, the Bears' commitment to the ground game, and although they started Kadeem Carey to kind of have a little mind, you know, what with all of us, we really know what Kadeem Carey is at this point.
All right, last one before we move on. Alshon Jeffery has put up franchise record numbers, at least franchise tying numbers for the last couple of weeks. Does that continue this week against the Rams defense, Arthur?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think anyone can stop Alshon Jeffery right now, and I'd like to take a second to say that I wasn't sure about this, so I want to give him credit. When Alshon Jeffery's on the field, he's a dominant wide receiver one who is going to dictate coverage and demand all kinds of attention from the defense. So Janoris Jenkins, Tremaine Johnson, pretty good corners in St. Louis, but I don't think they're going to be any match for Jeffery. You see Cutler's trust growing him in by the snap. It's been pretty fun to watch of late.
And at least 11 targets in the past 3 games. So Jeffrey's getting the volume for someone who may be afraid to start him against St. Louis. I don't think you could possibly think about benching him at this point. Let's move on to the Week 10 look ahead. We're going to go through quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. We're going to give you a top play, a mid-range guy, and a sleeper to get you ready for Week 10. We'll start with Arthur, quarterback. Who's your top guy, mid-range guy, and a sleeper?
Tom Brady, of course. The Giants have gotten by on opportunistic defense. I don't believe that really is such a thing to stop Tom Brady and his 22-2 touchdown to interception ratio. He's the clear-cut QB1 to me. Blake Bortles, it's kind of hard to ignore what he's doing at this point. He gets a Ravens secondary that has been weekly trouble. So I think Bortles is putting up big time numbers and is someone you can feel pretty comfortable with actually right now as your QB1. And Matt Stafford is my deep sleeper. I don't know what to expect from the Lions after everything that's happened in the past week, but I know what this Packers defense is right now, and it is just dismal against the pass and really in all facets. So I think Stafford with his set of his receivers and pass catchers could be in line for a pretty good day.
Blake Bortles QB1 and nobody's laughing. How weird is that? JC, who are you liking at quarterback this
week? I had Brady also, but I had a backup plan.
There you go.
So I went with Aaron Rodgers against the Lions and that joke of a defense. I have Joe Flacco as my mid-range guy getting the Jacksonville, who's actually number 7 against the run, but number 25 against the pass. So look for, I don't know who he's going to throw it to, but he's going to throw it to somebody. And then my sleeper, we'd already talked about him, is Landry Jones against Cleveland.
My top guy in daily is Aaron Rodgers, at least on DraftKings. Brady's 8,600. You can get Rodgers for 1,100 cheaper. I think his ownership will be down just because of the perception that the Packers' offense is struggling. But they played Denver and they played Carolina on the road. Those are two of the best defenses in football. And now he gets to come home and face the Lions. I think he's going to be not only angry, so you can go down that sort of narrative street, but it's a great matchup for them at home. My mid-range guy at quarterback, I still like Derek Carr. All he does is put up numbers. And the Vikings defense, it's good, but Carr at home, I still kind of like him, especially with Cooper and Crabtree, the way both of those guys have been playing. And then my sleeper, I'm actually going to go with Kirk Cousins. I struggle to even
thank
say
you,
it.
Rob Ryan.
Yeah, honestly, you never go
that
wrong.
Guy employed? they were last year. They're 29th this year, and they've got a good offense. I don't get it. In fact, if you look, their defense is near the bottom in every meaningful category. Yet somehow that guy still roams the sideline.
They just gave up. They've given up 9 passing touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. Kirk Cousins is 5,200 on DraftKings. I think that's a pretty safe bet to not only hit value but maybe smash it.
And you know what he's going to say if they win that game?
You like that?
Exactly.
All right. Let's running backs. Let's go to Arthur and running backs.
Yeah, my top guy was Todd Gurley. We talked about him a little bit already. I think after the Vikings kind of held him down for the most part Sunday, you should expect a big bounce back going back home against a Bears defense that, like we said, has been okay, but certainly not unbeatable. My mid-range guy is Gio Bernard. He gets the Texans' run defense, which has really been a struggle, and I expect the Bengals to get ahead early and Gio to get a lot of chances. He's really kind of resuscitated himself. Everyone had him written off and had Jeremy Hill as the guy, but Bernard has been very good. My sleeper, Ryan Matthews, we saw with the Dolphins defense surrendered last week. And notice I didn't say DeMarco Murray. I think to anyone who's watching, Ryan Matthews has been the better running back on that team, and it's only a matter of time before things even out. So I also have him as one of your late season, postseason surge guys. Keep an eye on Ryan Matthews.
All right, nice call on Matthews. JC, who do you like at running back?
I would say with Ryan Matthews, too, that is a favorable schedule the Eagles have going down this stretch. And since we pointed out my LeSean McCoy misstep, I also want to mention that I was high on Bernard, even with Hill at the beginning of the year. So I just want to, even that out. I also had Gurley as my top play, but I'll go with D'Angelo Williams then against Cleveland. My mid-range guy, and again, I agree with you, John. I'm sorry, that's next. We're talking running backs. Okay, so I have McFadden going up against Tampa Bay. And then my sleeper, and if you've got this guy on your roster, you're not going to believe I'm saying this, but because of Rob Ryan, you might want to play Matt Jones this week. I mean, if you're desperate, I mean totally desperate, he's a guy you might want to plug in there because he did have one good game second week of the season. He is getting the majority of the touches. He did fumble. But he still stayed in the game after that. So Matt Jones is a possible sleeper.
A decent possible waiver wire pickup. I'm sure plenty of people gave up on him over the last couple of weeks. I'm actually not having Gurley as my number one guy. I think the Bears defense is still, with eliminating the explosive plays, that's where Gurley has excelled. I'm with Adrian Peterson. We saw what D'Angelo Williams just did to Oakland's defense. Peterson. He's only 7,100 on DraftKings. I'm with you guys I'm with JC on McFadden being a mid-range guy. I really do like his matchup this week. I kind of like the Matt Jones pick this week. I didn't really have a sleeper, a low price sleeper guy. I'm staying away from that probably in daily, but man, that's not bad. Arthur, let's look at wide receivers. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think DeAndre Hopkins is at the top of the list for me. It's kind of for the same reasons I was with Gio Bernard. I just expect Houston to be behind quickly, and when they're always playing catch-up and always looking Hopkins' way, I expect him to get back on track after a week away. My mid-range guy, is there an Allen Hurns fan club yet? I don't know if there is. I haven't looked into it, but I'm ready to start it if there isn't one. This kid, a former undrafted in his second year, is on pace for almost 1,200 receiving yards and double-digit touchdowns. Everyone talks about Allen Robinson, and they're not talking enough about the other Allen. He's a stud. He gets that Raven secondary, and he's just been so consistent. He's going to be a WR2 in no time. My sleeper is Kenny Britt. We talked about him a little bit. I get back to some of the size and speed issues that have troubled this Chicago secondary, and I wonder if Britt is in line for a big play or two Sunday.
JC, who do you like at wideout?
I'm going to go with AJ Green, and one of the reasons is I think Cincinnati is going to have so much success running the ball that it's going to really open up the play action, and I could see him going over the top for some big plays. Now this is where I agree with you on Carr. I had Crabtree as my middle guy, even though Minnesota is a pretty tough defense. I think he'll be good. And then my sleeper, and I really reached on this one, but Arthur had brought up Matthew Stafford. I have Golden Tate as a sleeper. They're going to pay a lot of attention to Calvin Johnson. Golden Tate's a little better than he's performed this year, and he might have a bounce back this week.
And I think we can all agree Detroit's probably going to have to throw the ball to stay in the game.
They're going
to
be behind. That's right.
I'm with Arthur. I'm with you on DeAndre Hopkins for all the reasons you said. I mentioned him earlier, but my mid-range guy is Martavis Bryant. Again, all three touchdown throws from Landry Jones have gone to Martavis. As for my sleeper, I kind of like Kamar Aiken. I think that Jacksonville, you beat him with the throw. And you mentioned earlier, Joe Flacco has to throw to somebody. He's not throwing to shadows out there. So it might as well be Aiken. Tight end, I assume we're all going with Gronk.
Yeah, we're definitely going with Gronk for all the same reasons. Brady's the QB1 against the Giants. Gronk is definitely going to be the guy, I believe, at the tight end position. Honestly, I apparently didn't write down tight ends, but I'll just do it seat of my pants. Martellus Bennett, it was intriguing to see what he was able to do early in that game after griping during the week about his role in the offense. You saw a concerted effort to get him the ball in space. I thought that was positive. He finally found the end zone again. So certainly that was encouraging. And I'm going to throw out Zach Ertz just because I saw a couple things in primetime that were kind of appealing with him. And the Eagles offense seems to have kind of righted the ship a little bit. So maybe Ertz is able to kind of get going where some guys were pretty high on him before the season.
JC, Gronk?
Yeah, I had Gronk 1, Eifert 2. I had Zertz. Ertz and Zertz.
Let's call him Zertz. Why not?
I actually had him and Charles Clay. I figure the Jets are really tough in the secondary, so maybe they try to Buffalo tries to dump something underneath to Charles Clay. And then my sleeper, and this is just a wild guess, Vernon Davis.
Okay.
He, I think, got one target last week, but and Owen Daniels had a good week, but maybe Vernon Davis sees the field a little bit more against Kansas City.
Gronk is obviously my number one. I had Clay as my sleeper. I think that with Todd Bowles, we used to, when he was in Arizona, you beat Arizona with the tight end, and that hasn't changed since he's gone to the Jets. So I like the Clay pick. Jordan Reed is my mid-range guy. I think I'm going to be he'll probably be on 100% of my lineups on DraftKings at 4,600, especially going up against New Orleans and with Cousins throwing the ball.
I'm a huge Jordan Reed fan. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he even found the end zone against the Patriots when they dedicated the whole defense to stopping him. So as long as Reed is healthy, he is a tight end one. And just because I don't know if we'll get back to the topic, and I had written down two names, I just want to throw out two more guys for late season playoff surge potential. Sammy Watkins. I don't know the Bills trainer, so I don't have the inside intel on if Watkins can stay on the field. but he looks like the guy that everyone thought he was going to be finally. And they get Philly, Washington, and Dallas down the stretch. So I think Sammy Watkins is a guy that could bring home some fantasy hardware. And then Russell Wilson, I know everyone's cooled on him quite a bit, but you can't forget about kind of the upside that he provides. I know he has St. Louis in week 15, but he's also got a date with the Ravens. And if they can figure out those O-line issues, I think Russell Wilson may be able to find a way to kind of salvage what's been a really disappointing fantasy season.
Yeah, it's strange. Nobody is talking about Russell Wilson at this point with the season he's had. But I like the Watkins pick, too. I think if he's healthy, you know, Tyrod Taylor likes him a lot. So I like that pick a lot. That'll do it for the podcast this week. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts. And listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for the rest of the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have not done so already, please head over and subscribe and write a review. We only like positive reviews, of course, but never miss an episode by subscribing on iTunes. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Who says Black Friday should only be one day of great deals? Chevy's Black Friday sale is on right now. Check out all of these Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guests today on today's show, JC Talon, Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. I'm John Solly for all of us at ChicagoFootball.com. We hope you have a great week of fantasy football.